We're just reading Psalm 93, 1 through 2. And for those of you who missed the beginning of this, we also looked up 1 Chronicles 29, 11 through 12. Sorry, I'm going to repeat this for the recording. But the Lord reigns. His throne is established of old. And we're just, again, acknowledging the fact that there is no other authority. There's no other throne. Here, throne is mentioned. In this next verse, too, Psalm 9, the throne is mentioned. Anybody have Psalm 9, verse 4 and 7? Okay.
You want 4 and 7 or 4 through 7?
4 and 7 is good enough.
For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, judging righteously. But the Lord abides forever. He has established his throne for judgment.
I'm just kind of, I guess, highlighting the throne, that it's established forever, that it's established for judgment, that he judges from his throne. He rules from his throne. So the throne signifies his authority and power. And I love Psalm 11, 4. Does anybody have that one? I can read. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. God's authority and power is from his throne of authority and power. And he's looking and he sees. There's nothing that goes or escapes his wisdom and his knowledge and his judgment. And if you read that Psalm 11 before that, you know, the writer David is saying, you know, it seems like the wicked are prospering. They bend their bow, they make ready their arrows, they shoot at the upright. If the foundations are destroyed, you know, if authority and judgment and righteousness is destroyed, what will we do? But he comes to the realization, but the Lord is on his throne. The Lord is in his holy temple. So it's just a comfort to believers that we may look around and we may see like the foundations are destroyed. In this world, in our society, it seems that way. But God is on his throne. He is still in authority. He is all power. And he does rule in justice and righteousness and holiness. So we can be comforted in that. There's a quote from Sparks that I wrote down. I kind of did it in a chart or whatever. I don't know what to call it. But his throne, which is means his authority and power, it's his rights and his claims and his aims. So when we think of the throne of God, it's what he is entitled to, what he claims as his own, and everything. We know that it's everything is his, and all everything is by him and for him and through him. His sphere and his range, his throne is not just over a small thing, but it's over the entire universe, all of creation, all of anything that exists is his sphere and range. His honor is due him, and his honor is, he's bound up in with honor, his government. And just think about how what he did with Jesus. You know, the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Just in acknowledging that in his son, you know, is that judgment and authority as well. It's the Trinity. You see the Trinity in the authority of God, because you see how he gave it to his son on the earth. And how the Holy Spirit is in unity with that as well. And then the prosperity and well-being of its people. The throne of God is concerned with the prosperity and well-being of its people. You think about an earthly king, and we don't really have an earthly king to look at as an example here in America, but that earthly king was concerned, a good king would have been concerned with how the people prospered, how they fared, and what the government was. He was concerned with honor, his authority. And the throne of God, we can kind of picture it like that. It's his place of authority, and he rules absolutely. Like there's no failure in his ruling. And I'm kind of being redundant, but just want us to reflect on this. This sums up God's supreme objective, his glory, his name, and his people. That's God's supreme objective. The enemy's objective, and I wrote that next, aims at the repudiation of these rights and claims. Satan wants to come against God's authority, God's supremacy. That's what his objective is. So he aims at the repudiation of the rights, claims, and interests of that throne, to curtail and remove, if possible, the influence of that throne, to deprive the people under their prosperity and well-being. So everything that the throne of God and the authority of God stands for, Satan wants to come against. He wants to come against and cause us to suffer, the people of God, to not be able to live under that, the righteousness and holiness and justice of God. He wants to deprive us of that. You know, if, when God's in authority, there's peace. When God rules, there's joy. That's why the millennial reign of Christ is going to be so wonderful and peaceful, because he's going to rule absolutely. And man's never known this, because we've been in opposition to this since the beginning of time, opposition to God's throne. But that's what the enemy, Satan, tries to do. He tries to go against God's rights and claims. I think of the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that you can't eat of that? You know, is that what God really said? You know, he just doesn't want you to be like him. And he's just constantly, in our own minds, going against God's claims. You know, you think God's really going to protect you? You know, or whatever he says with us. You know, God, this is too much. God, this is too much for God to provide. You know, you've got to go out and do this. You've got to do this. And Satan's just constantly in our own hearts, the authority God has on his throne in our hearts, Satan's constantly trying to come against it. And that's where the spiritual battle is, that we face so many times, is the fact that Satan's just coming against the authority of God. So if we can recognize, and I can recognize, the battles in my life are so many times when I'm not submitting to God's authority. I'm letting other things become greater and more powerful. Anybody want to say anything or add anything? He said, amen. Mm-hmm. And this is also put, what Lee's quote here is, believers, we must have respect toward the whole objective of God's kingdom. We must see the big picture. And the big picture being the throne of God and the authority of God, who he is. We need to see the big picture. When we speak of spiritual authority, we must understand and respect God's authority in everything. We must understand that we are under his authority. And y'all, as we go into this study, I'm just, you know, God's just really dealing with me about things in this area of authority and submission to God's authority. Because we'll talk about, he places people in authority over us, you know, and spiritually, and, you know, in our homes or in our churches. And, you know, sometimes the enemy likes to just cause us to go against that authority. And there's havoc because of that. We give in to what Satan's trying to do, and we end up fighting, being on his side instead of God's. So before we go on to talk more about the enemy, I do want to kind of get back to our holy God and knowing him, because I think that's where our strength comes from, knowing him. Anybody before we go on? All right, so A.W. Tozer, that last quote on the first page. The decline of the knowledge of the holy has brought on our troubles. And I'm thinking, keeping in mind God's authority, God's throne, God's purposes in this world. And we'll look at some scriptures that tell us what that is. The decline of the knowledge of the holy has brought on our troubles. A rediscovery of the majesty of God will go a long way towards curing them. Talking about our troubles. It's impossible to keep our moral practices sound and our inward attitudes right while our idea of God is erroneous or inadequate. If we would bring back spiritual power to our lives, we must begin to think of God more nearly as he is. If we're going to be strong and have spiritual authority in our own lives, we've got to really recognize who God is and his holiness and his righteousness and his greatness. And I love that quote about it. So I kind of makes me want to even study more about just who God is, the person and the power and the attributes of who God is. Turn to Ephesians 3, because this is where we'll see his purpose from the foundation of the world, his purpose from the beginning. He gives it to us. If anybody has anything to share too, please do. Ephesians 3:9, I'm sorry. And Paul is talking about the ministry God's given him, all right, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he says in verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. That's those purposes that we were reading about. Who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is it that the enemy wants to overthrow? The knowledge of God, his manifold wisdom, his greatness and his glory. Satan's just always wants to come against that. And he'll whatever he can do, and we'll see what he tries to do, that's what he tries to thwart. But God's purposes can't be. He's defeated. You know, Satan's defeated. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. We read that last time. So going back, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, which for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now we've seen God's purposes. And I'm kind of going back to the quote by Lee, where he said, we must understand and respect God's authority in everything. We must understand that we are under authority. We must have respect to the whole objective of God's kingdom. This is a prayer for us so that we can have respect to the whole objective of God's kingdom, so that we can be under his authority. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, verse 16, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. There's a mystery. There's an extent to God. I like this word profundity, because I don't know why I like that word, but it's so profound that we can't grasp it. That only the Holy Spirit can teach us. So that's why he said, I pray that you be strengthened with might in your inner man by the Spirit. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It passes knowing scientifically or intellectually. It passes that. The know that it's talking about to know him, though, is a deep know. It's a understand and perceive know. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. God's eternal purpose is that the world, principalities, powers, everything might know his manifold wisdom. And he does that by the church because through Jesus Christ and the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. So that gives us his objective. And anybody want to say anything? I get tired of hearing myself. Okay. Just a kind of comparison here. T. Austin Sparks compares God and his authority to like a commander in an army. But even the ultimate commander, the supreme commander. But he talks about how he, you know, sometimes he would read books, but he would make sure good quality books he talks about. And there was one that was a big old thick book about the battles in Southeast Asia during World War II. And it's a big thick book about the whole problems and they were defeated miserably. I think it was it's the English army. But the defeat actually eventually led to victory. But they found out the whole problem was the lack of submission to the authority of the head. Like the head wasn't maybe communicating well with those below him. And so there was a lot of lives lost, a lot of money lost, a lot of things that went wrong because there wasn't the proper flow of authority from the head to all those below him. And so he kind of talks about how with the Lord, of course, it's different and not like that, but he says you can't just have a name or a figurehead. You can't just have somebody who says they're authority, but they don't exercise it rightly and properly. Everything centers and hangs upon the supreme command. So if you're an authority in everything, in something in your life, that's quite a responsibility, you know, just in your home, in your work, whatever it might be, that God has put you in authority in, you know, you have to remember that the responsibility we have, but Our supreme commander has to have a clearly defined objective. We just read that in Ephesians. That principalities and powers might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. A defined objective, a plan for reaching that objective. He's going to send Jesus, all right, and through the church to reach that objective, to command resources for it needed. And that's his grace through faith, his power and his might, his Holy Spirit's power. The confidence of his forces. We need to trust the Lord. He needs us to trust him so he can use us. He needs his church to display the manifold wisdom of God. So we need to trust him so he can use us. Think about this just in your daily life. You know, a lot of this is kind of some maybe high thoughts or lofty thoughts, but if we can bring this down to our daily living, do I have confidence? Am I trusting in my commander, in my supreme authority daily? Because I have to be able to trust in him for him to use me, for me to show principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God. I have to be walking in confidence with him. I have to know what he says to me is right and true, and I can obey it and know it's going to be fulfilled, and I can walk in victory. So he has to have the confidence of his forces and the loyalty of his forces. If a commander goes out and his army just turns against him or turns away and runs, then he doesn't have the loyalty of his forces and the battle is lost. But our supreme commander, even though maybe so many aren't loyal, he does have his people and he does have his soldiers, and they are loyal to him. So again, that's just a picture of like the supreme commander, our Lord, his authority. Defeat in any area is attributed to undervaluing or maladjustment to the supreme command. In the church, there must be the one over all, above all, in all, through all. And I quoted that earlier. If there's defeat as Christians, if there's defeat as the army of God, if there's defeat for us, it's because somewhere along the line we're undervaluing or not adjusting to what God tells us, his authority in our lives. So, you know, maybe we're having some struggles and things. And just in this situation, studying this, it's made me pray, Lord, where am I not submitting to your authority? You know, and sometimes that's because I'm not submitting to someone he's placed over me, you know, or maybe it's a word he's given me and I'm not submitting to what he's told me, you know? So it kind of just, there's a lot of things I'm not submitting to the Lord, and I'm doing it my own way. And we'll get more into that, because just a sneak peek, that's what the enemy did. That's what Satan did. I got to do this my way. And actually, we'll talk more next week. That's just rebellion. And that's what's in our hearts without Jesus. So anybody want to say about our supreme authority, our commander?
In the analogy of a commander of an army, or even like our president, as easy as it is to question decisions that get made, they have so much information that we don't have. Mm-hmm. And they see things that we can't see. So to a soldier on the ground in Afghanistan, to get an order to do something very specific, and if he's like, you have to tell me why before I'm going to do it. He can't see all the things that his commanders can see. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I pray all the time when I talk to the Lord. And I'm like, I know that you see things I can't see. Mm-hmm. And I know that you know things I can't know. And if he did tell us everything as to why he's asking certain things of us, we couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we can't process all the information, and we can't see all the moving parts. And so, it really just does come down to our faith and our willingness to say, God, I trust you, that you see the things I can't see, and you're asking me to do this, and it makes no sense to me right now, but I trust you, and when I get there, I'm going to see something.
Mm-hmm.
It really is faith in just believing that my future really is in the future. He has gone before me and he sees what I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
That's good. Yeah, it is.
That's good.
Especially in our independence, you know. It's the substance of things hoped for, evidence. Yeah, you know, like Lee said last, like faith is your evidence, you know. Yeah. And it's in not just what he's told us, but in who he says he is and who he's proven himself to be. All power, all authority, all holiness, yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen. It is a walk of faith, because it's not like we have somebody in an out, you know, commander's outfit sitting right there telling, you know, and we know he's, we can't see him, but it's our faith that sees, you know. But the Holy Spirit works in us, lives in us. And I think that's what this prayer is so good. I love this Ephesians scripture, because Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, rooted and grounded in his love, able to comprehend. We can. The Holy Spirit's given us so we can know these deep things. You know, we can know. We may not see everything ahead of us, but we can know. We can know God, you know, not just say, okay, you said this, so I'm going to believe it. But no, you've proven you're faithful. You've proven you're merciful. You've proven you're compassionate. You've proven you're powerful. You know, I know these things about you. And the closer and the more we know those things about him, the more we're able to battle when the battles come against us, you know. So it's our faith is just continually strengthened. Strengthened with might in the inner man. I believe that's what that is talking about. Strengthening our faith. Anybody else? Golly, the time goes by so fast. Wow. So we have a few more minutes. Let me see. We're probably not going to get to talk about the enemy today, so that's fair. But back to, let's look at Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Another prayer. It is so important. It's so, it's vital or necessary that we know our commander. All right. It's that he knows us and we know him. That we know our God, our authority. Ephesians 1, 17 through really 22 is a prayer like that. And you're probably pretty familiar with this, but the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So this is kind of what we were just saying too. The more we know, the grow in our knowledge of him, the more we we'll trust in him and we'll walk in what he tells us to do and obey his commands. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling. There's things we can know, and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and his exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, far above all principalities and powers. It goes on to talk about what he did through Christ by the Holy Ghost. And so we can know, and there's a knowledge that we can grow in, and there's a knowledge that we can have. So often for want or lack of that knowledge, we are held up or defeated. I don't know if I put y'all that little thing. Yeah, on the back page. There must be a mutual knowledge and understanding between the supreme command and the forces. So often for want of kava knowledge, it's supposed to be that, we are held up or defeated. When we come into a new knowledge of the Lord, we go on a new way of victory. The more we know the Lord, the more victory we have. So we've learned, okay, you're my defender. Maybe we've obeyed him because he's our authority in a situation, and he said, don't defend yourself, just trust me. And so we don't defend ourselves, we sit there trusting. And we see him defend us. We've learned something of him, so we can trust him more. We go on in that knowledge with victory. We have a victory there. You know, so everything we gain in our knowledge of our God, our authority, makes us stronger and stronger in the battle. And more victory comes to us that way. So we want to know him, and we want to know him more and more. And Philippians, we won't have to look it up, 3:8 through 10. Well, Paul says, I count everything but dung except for the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know, there are a lot of things he boasted in. He achieved in his life before he became a Christian in the worldly sense. But nothing was mattered to him, not his birth or his name or, you know, his education. It was the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection, being made fellowship in sufferings and conformable to his death. He wanted to learn to know him more and more. And that has to be our heart. That what does God want? Who is he? What does he think? We can know that in his word. We can know that something Satan's telling me about God is not true because it's not him. I know him. I know he's faithful. I know he's good. I know he's loving, or whatever it might be that we have to just come, that comes against us. Acts 19:13. Let's look there real quick. I want to look at these last two scriptures and we'll stop here. Matthew 7 and Acts 19, 13. So let's look both of those up real quick. Yep, I just like to read them because I remember when I see something better than when I hear it. So this is a story of the seven sons of Sceva, Acts 19 through verse 13. You know, there were so many miracles being done. Paul was, even his handkerchiefs, people were getting healed by touching his handkerchiefs. It's just amazing presence of the Lord being moving through the disciples. And so there were certain vagabond Jews. So they're not Christians. They're Jews who traveled about, exorcists, who are someone who uses like a formula or a system to try to get rid of demons and stuff. They took upon them, all right, to call over them which had evil spirits. In other words, they didn't have a right really to do it. It's presumption. They took upon themselves. So that's why they're not Christians or born again. They took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." So, they had no knowledge of them themselves. Because the evil spirit says in verse 15, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Our knowledge of God and our growing in him and who he is and walking in who he is essential to battle the enemy. Because we can say all the fancy words we want to, but if there's nothing there to back it up, the demons are not going to tremble. They're just going to laugh at us and then jump on us like they did these seven sons of Sceva when they tried to operate using the name of Jesus. So it's just essential to have that knowledge of the Lord, to know him and to grow in that knowledge of the Lord. Not just be satisfied with, okay, this is what I know and, God bless me. Give me the things I need. But no, do I know you? I want to know you more. Paul said, prayed that for the churches, those scriptures we read in Ephesians. And then Matthew 7, and we'll close with this. So it's not, verse 21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So right there, doing the will of my Father is submission to absolute authority. All right. If I want to, I'm submitting to God. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out devils and in your name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And just like these seven sons of Sceva, in your name I did this, God. But it wasn't, they weren't submitted to the will of the Father. They weren't submitted to God's authority in that. God didn't tell them to go do that. And again, that it was their will. I will that this takes place. I want this to happen. And we know that Jesus said, "I never knew you." And I'm going to read this it's a quote from probably one of these books, I don't know which one. "Why were they disapproved? They made self their starting point." Think about that. Okay. Why were they disapproved? They made self their starting point. They themselves do things in the name of the Lord. This is the activity of the flesh. This is the activity of the flesh. Now, I'm not going to say we have to run around and go, "Oh, God, did you tell me to do, go pray for that person? Oh, God, did you tell me?" Well, you know what God wants us to do, but to take upon ourselves, I'm coming in my authority, or I'm coming in, this is what I think needs to be done. We need to pray about everything. We need to ask God to lead us. We need to be led by his Spirit. If we're led by his Spirit, we're going to do the will of the Father. But we do have to examine our hearts and say, am I starting from just myself, my own desires, my own will? And that's what Satan did. And we don't really have time to look at it, but just think about this for next week. When Satan rebels against the authority of God, and I'll try to actually start here next week and not go on to something different. But in Isaiah and Ezekiel, it talks about what Satan tried to do and to exert himself. And this is self-exaltation. And that's a principle that goes against the authority of God. And if we can look in our own lives, Lord, am I exalting myself? Is this pride? Is this something I want to walk in? Like we might say, "Oh yes, Lord, I'll do this and this and this, but I want to do this. And I don't know if it's against you or not. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just doing it because it's what I want to do." you know, and we just have to examine our hearts in this. A lot of people that know a lot about Jesus, and they, you know, we go to church, we were taught and we're educated, but have we ever said, Lord, you know, like Paul on the road to Damascus, what actually came out of his mouth was, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, and went and said, come into my life. And, you know, it was submission to his lordship, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to read a couple of quotes I wrote down just because they're great. I think we should remember them. If there's defeat, it is because somewhere along the line we are undervaluing the authority over us. I just thought that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And what Christy was saying, I just wrote it down. The commander has so much more information than we have. We don't always understand the reasons behind his movements. He sees all the moving parts. And I think, I was just thinking, you know, this is such a great study, and it's true. These are all truths about God's authority, but these are truths that, like, we need to have knit into our hearts. Like, we can't just attend one study and say, oh, well, I've got it down now. And
mm-hmm.
just encourage myself and all of us just to meditate and just read it and then read it again. And just sit there and read it the same thing for the next 5 days, but just to let it knit into our, you know, the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You know, we've talked a lot about faith in the study today, and it's just, that's where it comes from. It's actually from the word of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's number one. You know, we all have a responsibility to just knit this into our hearts by just spending time on it. But another thing I was thinking about was this authority, you know, and all these moving parts and this commander just made me think sometimes the enemy, he can make us want to fear and be like, oh, but is he a good commander? You know, is he going to be good to me? Because sometimes we know that maybe God has authority and God's God and God's going to do what God's going to do because he's God, you know, but, and the enemy can get in there and maybe not, he might not say it outright, but we can begin to doubt the goodness of that authority. And in the sense the enemy can attack that authority that way, where we think, okay, well, I know he's in charge, but is he going to be good to me? You know, and just to highlight that and to address that and expose that perhaps, and just to read what a good authority we have through these scriptures and to focus on that. And another way is just to look at your life and just look at how he's treated you before and see how he's handled you and just say, well, you've been so good up to this point. Mm-hmm. I know you'll continue to Amen. Be so good afterwards. You know, just, I think about the devils. I've thought about it. I thought about this year a lot. We've had to walk a big walk of faith with this house and stuff we bought, and God's done testimony after testimony, and all the way through, like literally moments where we're like, literally, God, we need thousands of dollars, and all of this stuff happened. We got hit with $18,000 of unexpected plumbing repairs, and we just were like, whoop. You know, it's just been a faith walk over and over. And I always have been thinking about that story with the disciples, how they fed the 5,000, and then a little while later they had the same exact situation, and they were like, how are we going to do this? And he's like, we did this, we've done this exact thing. And so it was just like that. But and I had to remember, like, okay, well, how did God handle the last time we needed several thousand dollars to fix this thing? You know, just I have to believe him to be consistent, because he is. And so anyway,
Amen. That's good.
He's a good authority.
Yes.
I think
the only one that's just off the fact
is it this truth is how Paul said, I'm chosen to suffer. Because he really understood that when I suffer, I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that when God brings us through things like any testament to financial provision, you really learn God is not provider.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know God is not provider.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you need comfort, you know that he's your comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way we really learn it is through the experience. You have to need comfort to stand on a solid foundation and say, God is the ultimate comfort. Because he has comfort in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just gives you such beautiful perspective for whatever you're walking through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid. I'm dealing with anxiety. I don't have money. I'm lonely. Whatever it is, it's like he is trying to teach you who he is.
Yeah.
And if you learn it, you come out on the other side, you know you're better. And that's how we look at our child and say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for my name. Because now I'm going to be able to say on the other side of this, you are my comfort.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sweet way to apply it to what we're doing with our lives right now. Just be as good as he is.
Notice teaching. That's
I didn't get to you.
The next step, God does great miracle for us. The next day.
Yeah.
That's why we keep
I need to listen to that. I missed it. Okay. Amen.
And it fit like riding with Evan. You even notice that? Like,
yeah.
Like it was like Evan stopped and he just like picked up where he left off. And just, like, it was like part two. It was incredible.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Good. Amen. Amen. Well, thank y'all, ladies. And let's continue just to pray for this study and pray for, you know, just God to show us and teach us by Spirit. Bring us into that knowledge of Him. Pam, would you close prayer for me, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you that we were able to be a part of this study, Lord God, that you are just reminding us of who you are, Lord God, and the authority that you are above us, Lord God, that's good and merciful and all things that we need, Lord God, even when we don't understand. I pray, Father, Lord God, that we would continue to just have faith in you, in your word, that you would hide it in our hearts, Lord God, that we would be able to meditate upon it, Lord God. Don't let us lose what we're being taught, what we're being shown, what we're being read again, even though most of us have already read these scriptures, Lord God. We probably could even quote some. But, Lord, you're just bringing us deeper, Lord God, into this spiritual authority, and I pray that you would just continue to just give us the mind of Christ, that we can just dwell with you, Lord God, and your will. I pray, Father, Lord God, that you would just bless our day. Thank you for Carla, Lord God. Just pray that you would continue to use her, continue to teach through her, anoint her, Lord God, anoint her study times so she can just share with us what you put in her heart. We love you so much. We just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.